Media Pulse helps you make sense of Thai politics.
If you are a fan of our show, I'm sure you must have been by now familiar with the so-called Floor 14 scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been talking a lot about this over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
And finally, the scandal has come to an end with a ruling by the Supreme Court early this week that sent former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra back to jail.
Mm.
We can say that this is something unprecedented, at least in the eyes of his daughter, former Prime Minister Pae Thong Thanh Shinawatra. And she claimed that her father, Khun Thaksin, is the first Thai Prime Minister to go to jail.
Mm.
But she certainly needs to be corrected because her information is wrong. In fact, the first Thai Prime Minister to be jailed was Prime Minister Paul Pibun Songkhlam, Thailand's wartime leader. He then was accused of being a war criminal for siding with Japan in the Second World War.
It's understandable. It's way before her time. So in short, this is what the court says. The claim that was made on August 22, 2023 by the Corrections Department that Thaksin needed to be transferred to the Police General Hospital because he experienced severe symptoms, including chest pain and high blood pressure, was unjustified. So according to regulations, inmates who are unwell must be referred to the Corrections Department's hospital for diagnosis and treatment first. And if the patient's condition does not improve, then he can be sent to a hospital outside of the prison.
Second, the court ruled that Thaksin was not ill to the extent that would require him to remain at the police hospital for as long as 6 months.
Mm.
The doctor's certificate that was used to extend his stay at the hospital claimed that he needed urgent surgery for a stroke. In fact, he only had surgeries on an index finger and rotator cuff, a group of muscles that stabilize the shoulder joints.
And there was a third issue as well. Yeah. So it was whether the time spent at the hospital can substitute for time behind bars. So the court ruled that Thaksin was fully aware that he was not seriously ill, as he has claimed. Also, he was immediately sent to the 14th floor of the hospital, which does not have emergency equipment. So Thaksin has benefited from staying there, and he could not claim that he was unaware of the scheming that helped him remain in the police hospital for the duration until his release. So for the court, then, it ruled that the one-year prison sentence as commuted by royal command has not yet been enforced. And therefore, Thaksin had to be sent back to prison to serve his time.
However, few expect him to serve the full sentence of 1 year.
Mm.
There are rules and regulations that may let him out earlier. And to be eligible for a suspension of punishment, the prisoner needs to be in one of these three classes.
Yeah.
First, you have to belong to the so-called excellent behavior class. That means that he or she must have no more than one third of their sentence remaining.
Yeah, and then there are another two classes. So very good behavior class, the prisoner must have no more than one fourth of their sentence remaining. And for the good behavior class, they must have no more than one fifth of their sentence remaining. Therefore, in Thaksin's case, he's got 1 year, which is 12 months. He needs to have served at least 8 months to be qualified as an excellent behavior inmate. Or if he receives a special royal pardon of some sort, he might be out a bit earlier.
And as we all know, only a few days before the court issued the ruling, Thaksin left the country. He flew to Dubai.
Yes.
So the big question is, why did Thaksin decide to come back, knowing full well that he faced the possibility of having to go back to jail? Even his critics, who had predicted that he would take flight, meaning that he would not come back, were puzzled by his decision to return, right? Because Thaksin at that time was safely ensconced in Dubai.
Exactly.
And was already beyond the reach of Thai law.
There are several conspiracy theories. Okay. One conspiracy theory has it that Thaksin was tricked into coming home on a promise that the Supreme Court would rule in his favor, meaning that he would not have to go to jail. Some Thai media outlets reported that the promise was supposed to be part of another political deal.
If such a promise or such a deal truly existed, the question is, who made it?
Good question.
Now, the Thai media have been using the term the ruling elites to refer to people who have been shaping Thai politics from behind the scenes, right? These are supposed to be the same group of people who initiated the deal that allowed Thaksin to return from his exile in 2023. In return at the time, they expected Thaksin and Pheu Thai Party, led by his daughter, former Prime Minister Pat Thong Tan, to serve as a bulwark against the rise of what was seen as the anti-establishment political forces. Yeah.
So in short, Thaksin at that time was considered to be the only guarantee that could put a brake on the People's Party, which was on the verge of clinching the executive power after winning the general elections in 2023. Thaksin, however, not only fulfilled his part of the deal, but also began exerting his influence to the extent that he was seen as interfering in the affairs of the state, as well as stepping out of bounds. One political observer noted that what best reflected Thaksin's ambitions and hubris was when he said that he had the obligation to poke his nose into every problem facing the country. So in his own words, I am Mr. Nosy.
No, in fact, it was not only his political bossing that the Thai media believed unsettled the so-called ruling elites. And the fact that he never spent a single day behind bars, despite his conviction on corruption charges, fueled their outrage against him. And the Constitutional Court's decision late last month to remove his daughter, Pat Thong Tan, as Prime Minister was seen as a clear signal to Thaksin that the old political deal that he made with the so-called ruling elites was no longer valid.
And that explained why all of a sudden Thaksin chose to fly out of the country only a few days before the Supreme Court was to rule in the so-called 14th floor case. His claim that he went to Dubai for a medical appointment carried little weight in political observers' view. They believe he went there simply to wait out the court's verdict from a safe distance.
But amid rumor that he was about to begin another round of self-exile in Dubai, Thaksin surprised many people by flying back to Bangkok on the eve of the court's ruling, reportedly hoping to hear good news the next day. But to his disappointment, Thaksin was ordered back to jail to serve out his one-year prison term, this time actually behind bars, not in the comfort of a VIP ward as in the Floor 14 scandal.
Some media outlets have concluded that the whole thing was Thaksin's own doing, believing that he had the blessings of the so-called ruling elites. He went out to throw his weight around and stepping on people's toes. At some point, in the eyes of the elites, Thaksin turned out to be more of a long-term threat than a useful political tool. So the 14th floor legal case has provided them with a perfect opportunity to rein in the former prime minister.
As you just mentioned, that there have been so many conspiracy theories. And another one of them is that there was indeed a political deal for Thaksin to come back to face the verdict, with an understanding that he would spend only a fraction of his jail time actually behind bars. And within no time, he would be transferred to an alternative detention facility outside the prison, as allowed by a recently amended regulation. And a further royal commutation of his sentence or even a royal pardon could follow suit.
But despite all these conspiracy theories, Thaksin supporters have a totally different view of his ordeal. They see Thaksin and his Shinawat family as victims of political persecution. And they see his return to face the music as a demonstration of his political courage. While his critics are convinced that the days of glory of the Shinawat and Pheu Thai Party are things of the past, these supporters believe that Thaksin will emerge from the whole saga with even more political appeal.
A key figure of Pheu Thai Party, former Deputy Prime Minister Phumthamvet Chaiyachai, even went to the extent of referring to Thaksin as the democracy icon,
right,
for fighting for democracy, even at the cost of his freedom. Most political observers do not believe that the jail term will mark the end of Thaksin's political road. Once he regains his freedom, he is most likely to continue to use Pheo Thai Party as the political vehicle to exert his influence, but more likely in a less confrontational way.
Mm.
And some foresee the possibility of Thaksin resorting to behind-the-scenes role rather than that of the so-called busybody, the moniker he gave himself.
So this conspiracy theories aside, they believe that one reason why Thaksin chose to come back, despite the odds against him, was that he needed to save the Pheo Thai Party. The party he founded, which has served as the power base of the Shinawat family for a very long time. And this is believed by many as well, this theory. As we all know that even though he holds no formal positions in the Pheo Thai Party, he is not shielded away from demonstrating who the real boss of the party is. He is known to have dictated every single major policy and political move of the party.
Now, Thaksin is often referred to as the spiritual leader of Pheo Thai Party. And without him, political observers believe that the party cannot expect to revive its political fortunes in the next general election. However, it doesn't mean that Thaksin still has the kind of appeal that helped the party triumph in the past elections.
Yeah.
Thaksin's critics believe that he is no longer a political magnet as he once was. But for Pheo Thai Party, the next general election would be a nightmare without Thaksin, for sure.
We have been talking a lot about these so-called ruling elites. Now, so who are these people exactly? Of course, nobody can actually name names, but every time the Thai media outlets or political observers mention the term ruling elites, they assume that everybody knows whom they are referring to.
Now, as one Western diplomat remarked in a recent conversation with Thai PBS World with us.
Yeah, I remember that.
Thai politics has both visible and invisible elements. And it's often the invisible that calls a shot.
It's an interesting remark, I would say. And I think the next election would be the one to watch, because remember the cobras?
Yeah.
A lot of people in the Pheo Thai Party that I've talked to have been talking about, you know, people trying to switch sides, going to a party where they could survive politically if the Pheo Thai Party is diminishing.
No, it's not a surprise, because politicians always look for a greener pasture.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Now Phum Chai Thai promises to be one of the biggest political magnets in the coming election.
Yeah, let's talk about the greener pasture. since we've mentioned it. So as we are talking, the newly appointed Prime Minister Anutin Chanwirakul is supposed to have finalized his cabinet lineup. So Thailand should have a new government in charge within a matter of days.
But it will be a government born under the strangest of circumstances. And the countdown to its demise will begin the very day it takes office. You can start counting down once Khun Anutin takes office and declare his policy to the parliament, right?
Mm.
Because Khun Anutin is bound by a pact to dissolve the house within 4 months after presenting his government's policy. And this is one of the 5 preconditions laid down by the People's Party, the country's biggest party, in exchange for its support for Anutin to become prime minister.
Yeah. Mm. Despite political constraints, it looks like Anutin has started at least on the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
He surprised many by naming technocrats and individuals outside the political circles to take charge of 4 key portfolios in his cabinet. So they include finance, commerce, energy, and foreign affairs. And the move is unprecedented in the sense that these important cabinet posts are traditionally considered political spoils up for bargaining by political parties.
But the kudos for these appointments did not last very long. Within days, they were overshadowed by brickbats over what is seen as crony appointments made by Anutin to his cabinet. These appointments reportedly involve politicians without credentials and experience. Some of these people have risen to political prominence solely because of their family connections. And Anu Tin himself appeared to acknowledge this, saying that the political spoils need to be shared with politicians who made possible his would-be coalition government.
Yeah, as a normal thing in Thai politics. The coalition Anu Tin is forming is a patchwork of small parties and factions which broke away from the outgoing Pua Thai-led coalition government. Political observers know that because of that, Anu Tin cannot possibly avoid horse trading with his coalition partners. And among those being appointed to the cabinet are potential successors or family members of key figures in these political parties, even though they may not be qualified for their jobs. Is a part of nepotistic succession that is common in Thai politics.
Anu Tin knows too well that time is not on his side, given the commitment to dissolve the house within 4 months. Yet he still wants to be seen as a leader who can deliver. And that's why he decided to bring in the technocrats and people outside the political circles to take charge of key portfolios in his government. But he also has his eyes on the next general elections, which just a matter of months away. And that is why he needs to bring on board all political parties and factions that we talked about earlier, which are his potential allies in the next general elections.
Yeah, and what can be expected is a slew of populist policies that Anu Tin believes can help his Phum Chai Thai Party win the hearts and minds of voters. In fact, one is already in the pipeline, and that's Anu Tin's plan to revive the co-payment stimulus program, which proved very successful during the COVID pandemic under General Prayut Chan-o-cha's government, or Lung Tu. Uncle Tu. Yeah. Under the scheme, the government will cover 50% of purchases on food, beverages, and essential goods, while consumers pay the remaining half. The idea, which has been widely welcomed by small businesses and the service sector, is designed to encourage spending to stimulate a sluggish economy.
So it's no surprise that most political observers believe that these, the co-payment scheme, will be just the first of a series of goodies that Anu Tin and his government will be giving out to the people in months to come.
Yeah, I don't mind goodies. I think Thai people would like it. For more news about Thailand and the region, visit thaipbsworld.com and look for Thai PBS World on social media.